We're going to look at Psalm 51 this morning, verses 1 through 4, so I invite you to turn there. We'll confess our sins, but we'll confess our sins in light of God's Word. And we're going to read the first four verses of Psalm 51 with the title of the psalm as well. Hear now the Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Amen. This psalm here, Psalm 51, is one of the what are called the penitential psalms, the psalms of confession. And being that this part of our service is a time of confession of sin, it seems that there are this is a particularly appropriate psalm for us to look at. And among the penitential psalms, this psalm has had a special place in the heart of God's people, just like Psalm 23 is particularly special to God's people. Psalm 51 has often been the key psalm of confession, perhaps the most well-known and perhaps the most definitional. And this psalm is important for us for a number of reasons, because the first reason is that defining sin in a biblical way is essential if we will understand the gospel of Jesus Christ rightly. We must define sin rightly. Secondly, this psalm is important because we're all called to live a life of faith in Jesus Christ and repentance towards God. And repentance is not this one-time thing at the beginning of the Christian life and never happens again. It is a continual life of repentance as we lay aside these dead works and walk in newness of life. And so over the weeks to come, however long it takes, I would like to look at this psalm with us, verse by verse, and seek to understand how Psalm 51 will teach us to confess our sins, to understand who our God is, to understand the work of Christ, and also to know the restoration of joy that comes as we confess our sins. So this morning we're going to think about really just the title of the psalm. The titles of these psalms are inspired. They're part of the scriptures. They're not commentary that was added later. These are part of the Hebrew Bible. And so this particular title says that it was a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Those events are recorded in 2 Samuel 11 through 12, and you probably have some familiarity with what happened. David's army had gone off to battle, and yet David had stayed home. While walking on the rooftop of his palace, he had seen this woman and he had lusted after her. And then he ultimately committed adultery and then killed the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, by putting him at the forefront of the battle. So these are some of the darkest days of David's life. He had committed these heinous sins in the sight of God. And he had bloodshed on his hands. He had broken many of the Ten Commandments in a very open way, things that were even worthy of the death penalty under God's law. This is where David is. Now, the Lord could have left David there. He could have said, so be it, David, you're going to sin against me. You've rejected my word. You know the commandments of God and you have sinned anyway. The Lord could have left David in that condition, but the Lord is merciful to his children, and that's not what happened. The Lord sent Nathan the prophet. 2 Samuel 11, 26 through 27, going into chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. I'm just going to read that for you. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband, and when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. And he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. And I'm not going to read the whole parable that Nathan tells here, but notice those words. The thing David did displeased the Lord, but then the Lord sent Nathan. Behold the mercy of God, brothers and sisters, that he did not leave David there. He sent a prophet. He sent a messenger who was going to expose David's sin and bring him to repentance and set him on that right path again with the Lord. David could have been hardened in his sin, and who else knows what would have happened in David's life, and yet immediately a prophet is sent to restore him. The Lord is so merciful to us. When we displease the Lord, he so often sends Nathan the prophets to us so that we will not continue in that path that would be so destructive to us. And so Nathan tells this parable to David. He talks about this rich man who had a great flock and had plenty, but then he took the poor man's one lamb to himself. And David becomes so angry at this man, he says, this man deserves to die. And then Nathan delivers that line that so convicts, and he says, you are the man. You are the man, David. So what do we take from this for our time of confession? Today, the Lord is still merciful to us to send Nathan the prophets at just the right time. When you and I sin against the Lord still sends us those. And the question I have for you this morning is, what do you do with Nathan the prophets that are sent to you? Do you receive them? Do you welcome them? David wrote this later in Psalm 141, verse 5. He says, let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. And so each of us have Nathans in our lives by God's mercy. And it may be that that particular person does not have the name Nathan, unless it's Nathan Winokur or Nathan Harvey. But they're going to have some other name, and they may not have the title prophet, but they might be very prophetic in what they have to say to you about your particular sin at that point in time. That Nathan the prophet might be your husband, your wife, your dad, your mom, your pastor, your Christian friend. Parents, Nathan the prophet can sometimes be about this tall and about 5 or 6 years old. And they can deliver a word in season and say, thou art the man, right at that point. Now, if the Lord is merciful to send you Nathans, what do you do with the Nathans? They're called to bring you to repentance and confession of sin and to restore that relationship that is broken to some degree with the Lord. Thankfully, the Lord has never cast his children away, but just as father and children have their relationship can struggle when they sin, it needs to be restored. And so we are called then to act as Nathan the prophet, act as Nathan the prophet did, and to receive Nathan the prophets. Now, the Pharisees were accused by Jesus of killing the prophets, stoning the prophets. They said, every single prophet that's been sent to you all over the generations, you've killed, you've cast away. We don't want to be like that, brothers and sisters. We want to receive those that come to give us the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so it is a mercy that the Lord sends us his messengers to correct us. And how tragic it would be if the Lord sent Nathan after Nathan after Nathan after Nathan, and you just sent all of them away. You didn't receive them. You didn't listen to them. You didn't want to hear what they had to say. You rejected every word they said. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's receive that merciful messenger in whatever form it comes so that we too can join David in confessing our sins. Because before David ever gets to the words of Psalm 51 and can ever truly confess his sins, he has to have Nathan come first. So let's thank God for those mercies, and let's confess when we have not been so receptive to the Nathans that have come. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would have mercy upon us, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities. Cleanse us from our sins. Lord, we thank you for your mercy in sending us Nathans who say, "You are the one." We acknowledge that this is your mercy, that you don't just leave us in our foolish and sinful ways. And so give us humility to receive them. Teach us to say with David that a righteous man striking us is a kindness. It's like oil on our heads. Give us humility to receive those you send. And then forgive us, cleanse us, restore us from these things. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins we have in Christ our Lord. And now we each take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.